Cooper comes up, hits it. Yes!
It's astonishing! It's Lee Griffiths!
Go, Cleach.
There's the goal!
Cuthbert, she straights. Goal! Aaron Cuthbert!
Oh, what a goal! What a goal! What a goal by Mick Fergan!
Okay, welcome to the official Scotland podcast. My name is Stephen Mill. Gordon Duncan is on holiday, just in case you were thinking he's put on a wee bit of weight since the last time he did this. So, welcome along. As you can see, I've got Paul Hartley with me, former Scotland midfielder. We're going to have a right good chat about your Scotland career. 25 caps, one goal, first of all. Where was your goal? You'll remember it well.
Slovenia.
Yes.
It's a 3-0 we won that night. We actually scored three brilliant goals.
Yeah.
McFadden, Fletcher. And I scored the last of them, so you always remember that.
Yeah, lots of things to get through. There's, we'll get to that in particular and speak about it in more detail. But let's go right the way back to the start of your career. What's your first memory of playing football, Paul?
I think just obviously way back at Boys Club in terms of, I started off at Mill United, pretty famous boys club in Scotland. So, you know, that was sort of your sort of first memory. Obviously playing when you were younger, but in terms of boys club, Mill United was my sort of first team for myself.
And at that stage, you know, it's a cliche, but it's every young boy's dream to play for Scotland. Did you think you were capable of doing that at that age?
I think you always dream of it, but I'm not quite sure you ever think you're going to make it, because it takes a lot of hard work and determination and commitment, not just a bit of ability. I think a lot of it's down to your attitude. Always wanted to be a football player. Wasn't any good at school, so football was my first love.
Tell us about going to Euro 96. You were there as a sort of,
I know what to call it. We call it a hamper boy.
A hamper boy,
Don't call it anything else.
I was trying to score on that issue.
For us, I was at Hamilton Accies as a youngster for 16 when I left school. And then I got the call in 96. Craig Brown spoke to Ian Monroe, who was my manager, asking if I would want to be one of the six young boys to go to Euro 96 in England, and couldn't wait to go, and what an experience it was for me. It was brilliant. Yeah, we were doing all the jobs. It wasn't a problem. You're doing all the dirty jobs, you're collecting the players' kit, but you were training with top players, so that was a great experience for myself.
It must have been strange at that time as well, because Hamilton at that point, correct me if I'm wrong, I think got relegated from the first division season.
Thanks for reminding me that. That's very good of you. But we did, aye. We get relegated for the first division, so... Mm-hmm. I was a young player coming through the system at Hamilton, and to get called up to go as one of the six young players with by Craig Brown, who I've still got a strong relationship with now, was an unbelievable experience for myself.
So talk us through the main game, obviously, at Euro 96, was Scotland versus England. Where did you watch the match from? Were you just behind the dugout? Or?
Yeah, we weren't too far for the main stand. So just no far for the dugout, and you know, obviously it was such an important game that the atmosphere was terrific. We were on the pitch before the game, you know, having a walk on the pitch, which is a brilliant experience for us. And then obviously we lost the game, but just an experience of being there. We missed the penalty through Gary McAllister, and obviously the ball did move, so I think that was something to do with it. But just been an experience being there and being such a high level of game and watching that and showing what you had to do to try and make it to the top.
Can you remember who the other hamper boys were at that point?
Yeah, I've got Grant Brebner was one, Michael Craig, Colin Meldrum was one, Jamie Buchan was one.
Yeah,
there was one other. Can't remember who the other one was. He played at Celtic, I'm sure.
So you were the only one who went on to actually go and play for Scotland then?
Yeah, I was. I think some of them had under 21 caps.
Yeah.
Under 21 caps. But for myself, getting a full cap, yeah, I was the only one from that 60 to actually get a full cap.
So from that point onwards, you were at Hamilton, you played a lot of games there, your career progressed at a club level. Bertie Vokes then took over after Craig Brown. He was dishing out caps like confetti.
Never got one.
But not to you.
Yeah, I was quite happy with that, to be quite honest with you. It was a bit of a low point in Scotland's international football. I just didn't get one. Look, for whatever reason, maybe I wasn't playing well enough at club level, but I was fortunate enough to actually get my cap when I did.
You also played at B International.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that. It was against Germany in 2004.
In Germany, yeah.
And do you remember who else played that day? I've got the team line-up with me just now.
I actually only remember a couple of names. I think Bob Malcolm was one.
Correct.
I think Adam Virgo was definitely one. Yeah. I roomed with him. Mm-hmm. I actually don't know the rest of them. I just can't remember.
I'll run through the starting lineup. Right. So it was Derek Souter in goals.
You're right, okay.
Xander Diamond.
Xander played with him at Aberdeen, yeah.
Kevin McNaughton's
another one.
Ian Murray.
Ned, yep.
Mark Wilson.
Willow, yeah.
Yourself, you started. Gary O'Connor.
Oh, my gosh.
Jamie Smith.
Jamie, yeah.
Simon Lynch.
These names are coming right back, this.
And on the bench was Martin Corrigan, Barry Nicholson, Stevie Hamill. Alan McGregor was the substitute goalkeeper.
There you go. I only knew two of the names.
What was it like playing in a B international then? Because it's that thing where you were saying, you know, Berry Vokes is dishing out lots of caps. You're probably thinking, you know,
Got a chance?
Yeah. Why am I in the B squad?
For that reason, we get beat 3-0, so that was probably the reason. I don't know. I think it was Rainer Bonhoff and Tommy Burns were taking the team that night. So, but look, it was just one of the things. Yeah, I didn't get a cap under Berry for whatever reason. It's not that I'm bitter towards that, because you know, I was thankfully I got my cap under Walter, and I think a year later.
Did Walter call you up? And can you remember?
No, I think what it was. You get a letter sent through to the club that you're involved in the, I don't know, 22, 23 man party. Mm-hmm. And the game is Italy away, so thinking you might be on the bench. But I remember when he spoke to me to say I'd be starting at the San Siro for my first cap, and it was a surreal moment. Mm-hmm. Playing against the top players.
How do you feel as a player at that point? Is it nerves? Is it excitement?
I think excitement, because I came on the stage very late. Mm-hmm. I was 28 when I first got called up to the national team. So I was an experienced player by then at 28 years of age. So for me it was excitement, everything that you dreamt of as a younger player. Because I think at that time, I think you're thinking maybe it's going to pass me by, represent your country. So. My form was good at heart, so that was one of the reasons that I got in the squad.
And playing in an amazing stadium like the San Siro as well.
A high profile.
Yeah.
High profile game at the San Siro. A dream for myself. Walking out in the San Siro, seeing the Scotland supporters. The result didn't go the way we wanted to go because of a special player. Managed to score two free kicks. So, but for me, my first start in the San Siro was an unbelievable experience for me.
Well, you mentioned them there. It was Andrea Pirlo who scored the two free kicks that night. What was it like playing up against him?
Well, he's, if you come back to the question later on, that he's the best player that I've came up against. From an international and at club level, I managed to play against him at AC Milan. He was an unbelievable player, one of my all-time favourite players, to be honest with you.
Do you remember much else of the game? With a couple of chances, no. Kenny Miller?
We do. I think we had a couple of chances at 0-0. Mm-hmm. But the game just goes by in a flash. But, you know, for me, it's not till after the game you're thinking, I managed to play against Italy tonight in the San Siro, my first cap.
You managed to get booked as well.
Oh, there's a shock.
You got booked your first two games for Scotland.
That's just the normal for myself then.
There was 10,000 Scotland fans there that night, which is obviously, you know, always taking an amazing travelling support. Yeah. But it's one of those ones where you probably look up into the heavens and the San Siro and see them. That's an inspiring thing to see.
Oh yeah, they're away in the right-hand corner. I remember that. And the atmosphere that night was unbelievable. And obviously the Tartan Army travel in their numbers, but they make such great noise and that can only spur you on, but a brilliant fan base.
Talk to us about Walter Smith then, you know, legendary manager. What was he like to play under?
Yeah, I loved working under him. Very, very good. Players manager. Man management was brilliant. But he had a great backroom team with him. Obviously, Tommy Burns I worked under at Celtic, Ali McCoy. So the three of them together were brilliant to work under. And what we did, every time we turned up, we loved it. We loved the training, and you don't always play when you go away on international duty. Some games you don't play, you might not get any minutes, and especially if it's a double header and it's 10 days and it's long. But working under Walter was brilliant.
Yeah. We were in a spotty bother when Walter took over. Yeah. We'd had a couple of dodgy results to start off that campaign, and then we had the Italy game, which was tough. Your first game at home at Hampden was against Moldova. So that was your first game at Hampden. For Scotland,
yeah.
How was that walking out for the first time?
I think brilliant. I think it's something that you always wanted to do and growing up, and you know, you want to try and play at the highest level as possible. Walking out here in front of the Tartan Army, national anthem, you've got family there, you've got friends, and then to step onto the pitch is it's what you want to do.
Did you sing the national anthem?
I never ever sang the national anthem.
Did you not?
No.
Not even mime it?
No, I didn't mime it. I was always pretty silent in any pictures you ever saw. I was always focused, and I can't claim to be the best singer anyway, but I love representing my country. I really did.
That Moldova game, it was 0-0 at half-time. Don't know how much you remember of it. 0-0 at half-time. Christian Daly scored, James McFadden scored. It was an important win because they keep us in with a chance, at least the playoff. What was said at half-time with Walter Smith under that?
Because Walter was always calm. He was always just saying, look, we've got to try and get a result and try and up the tempo and up the quality. But the man, when you worked under Walter, he was very calm about things. He got his point across, and everybody knew what they were doing. They all knew their jobs when you came and worked under Walter and Tommy and Ali.
The next game was at home against Italy, which was a draw.
1-1. Kenny Miller.
You set up Kenny Miller's goal.
I always remember the ones you set up.
Yeah.
Right hand side, I think we scored, I think it was pretty early in the game, I might have been. And I just took a touch, and I've seen Kenny hitting the front post, and I've just tried to deliver one in. And it was a great header. Kenny was absolutely unbelievable that night against Cannavaro. He was top drawer, but it was a right good game. It was brilliant atmosphere, played in the right way. We played well, but we're up against top players.
You know, you mentioned under Bertie Vokes, it was obviously a low point in terms of where Scotland were. Walter came in, it changed right almost instantly, because that Italy team went on to win the World Cup that they qualified for, and there's us holding their own against them.
Yeah, we sure did, and you know, the quality they possessed, and you said they won the World Cup a year later. So it showed you the strides that we'd made, what happened under Walter since he came in. He just got us really organised and tried to play the best players in their best positions.
And is that the most important thing, do you think?
Well, but the same thing for the new manager coming in, Steve Clarke. Try and get your best team in the pitch, play your system that suits you, and hopefully you can be hard to beat.
There was three games after that. There was a 2-1 win away in Norway.
Norway, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think Kenny might have got a double that night. Yeah, I think one for the right hand side. I think I've crossed one in, and I think he's got sort of exact same sort of as Italy game. But we were excellent that night, played really, really well. So a good result for us.
And that left us in with a chance of still, you know, being in the ballpark of qualifying. Yeah. And we played Belarus at home.
Yeah.
We got beat 1-0.
Yeah, it was a poor game.
Alexander Hleb, I remember, I think I was at the game.
Yeah, you were poor.
Was outstanding. Yeah. Played with Barcelona, Arsenal.
We never performed. We were right off at that night. And the expectation again, I think because who you're playing, Belarus, you think you've got to just turn up. But we were never at the races.
Why do you think that was? Was there a lot of pressure? Was it just a step too far?
I don't know. You've got to play under pressure, haven't you? Sometimes international football is so difficult, and people don't realise that. It doesn't matter the opposition you play against. I remember going to play the Faroes, and I think we won 2-1. So every game is so tough, international level.
The final game of that qualifying section was, as we mentioned earlier on, the 3-0 win against Slovenia.
Yeah.
One of the best Scotland goals I remember was in that game, scored by Mr. Paul Hartley.
Yes, it was.
Was that a lob?
It was a little cheeky chip.
It was.
It was the last couple of minutes of the game. I think it might have been Gary O'Connor that passed it to us. I can't remember. And I've just seen the goalkeeper off his line and clipped it. But all three goals that night, Fletcher scored a 30-yarder, and then Faddy scored a cracking goal. So. Really good, strong performance to try and take us into the next campaign.
And it set us up very nicely going into the next campaign, because we got off to a flyer, because, you know, it was the Faroe Islands game first at Parkhead.
6-0.
And there was a massive crowd that day there as well. Like a fantastic, it's all about momentum in international football as
definitely.
Well.
Definitely. And we had that going into that campaign. See, we start the game really well. There's no easy game in international football, but we managed to get us. You know, 1-6-0.
Apart for that one. But it turned out to be quite a memorable campaign. We'll get to the France games and just a wee second. But you started playing in a different role, didn't you? You started playing a little bit deeper than what you were doing at club level.
Holding role, sort of, I played in the right hand side of a five. If you want to call it a five, because we played 4-5-1, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. It wasn't rocket science, to be honest with you, at times. Played in the right hand side because I knew I could play there. Or I played in the middle, but then I started to sort of drop back a little bit. And then I went to Celtic a little bit a year later, and I really mainly played there as a a sitting midfielder, but I could play there or I could play as an attacking one.
But anyway,
I didn't matter. As long as I didn't matter where I played for my country, and I mean that. I would have played anywhere just to pull on the jersey.
That was a really tough group. We had France, we had Italy, we had Ukraine, who'd gotten to the World Cup quarter final.
Very tough.
What were your thoughts when you saw the group come out?
This will be extremely tough. How are we going to go to this? It was one where we thought, I think the home games are always going to be important for us. And we made a strong start, but well, that was a really, really tough group that we were involved in.
You mentioned the Faroes game, which was obviously, you said, an easy game in international football. Tough away game in Lithuania. These are places that Scotland have since then and before then struggled.
They were never easy. It was a grass pitch. I think they now play in AstroTurf.
Yeah.
But it was a grass pitch. I think, did we win 2-1?
Yeah, we played them in Kaunas. And
did
we
Christian
beat them.
And Kenny score?
Yeah.
So my memory's still okay just
you're
now.
You're all right.
It's all right. Yeah, so Kaunas, yeah. Tough venue, really, really awkward team to play against. It was never easy, but the pitch was terrible that night. It was a horrendous pitch. I don't think the weather was great, but we managed to get that win.
Let's get to France then. It was a wet November Saturday night.
Yep, never forget that one.
Take us through how it went then. World Cup champions. Or World Cup finalists, sorry.
This has got to be a tough game. We're going to have to really work hard to get anything from it. We knew we would have to give up possession of the ball, and if we got a chance, we had to take it. And we always thought, from a set play, that we might have a chance of scoring. And obviously, I set one up for Big Gary, and I think it was something like the 62nd minute, it could have been. And then we were clinging on, we were hanging on. At times, we were absolutely shattered by the end of the game.
I'm not sure many people would have had Gary Caldwell for first goal scorer.
No, and obviously I played with Gary later on, but he just I put a delivery in, and Big Gary arrives late, and you see you make history and you make your name from that, and he certainly did. And for us to be involved in that game, even look back 10 years later, or whatever, and you still think we managed to beat France here, an outstanding team with the quality they had in their team that day.
Who were you playing up against in midfield that night? Was it Vieira?
I played in the right-hand side. I played wide in the right that day. I can't remember who I was up against, but we played a five. If you want to call it 4-3-3, but we were a five that day because we were defending for our lives for the majority of the game. But there's so much quality in the group. And if you look back at the team, they were world class, and we managed to get a result here. And by the way, the atmosphere that night was absolutely bedlam. It was incredible.
I was going to say I remember exactly where I was. I was in my mate's house when the goal went in. You were obviously taking the corner, which was slightly better. But do you remember in the immediate aftermath of the goal what happened, or you know, like is it?
I'm thinking we've just scored against France. How are we going to hang on here for the next 30 minutes or so? But overall, it was such hard work that game that night. And then it's not to laugh that you came back to the dressing room. It wasn't a celebration for us when we came into the dressing room. We managed to win that game tonight.
After that, things went a little bit more pear-shaped because we lost away in Ukraine.
Tough game, 2-0.
Yep. Any memories of Kiev?
It was bitterly cold, I remember that. It was they were a good team, but going away to that sort of environment was never going to be an easy game. And to be fair, we actually didn't play particularly well that night. And they deserved to win the game, Ukraine.
To compound that, Walter Smith then leaves to go back to Rangers. No. How did you feel about that?
I think we were disappointed that Walter left because we felt he was building a good team and with a club environment. To be quite honest with you. Every time we met up, all the guys were just all pals and we got on with each other and all. There's always talk of like the old Firm players never got on. I never ever seen that. That was never ever the case at international level when I was involved for 5 years. So when Walter left, we were extremely disappointed.
Alex McLeish comes in. What was the difference between Alex and Walter?
He was good. Alex was good. He was a wee bit like the same as Walter. He was good and his staff were good. Roy Eating, Andy Watson. But Alec was good. No, look, I've not got a bad word to say, but Alec, in his time involved, it was good. We had some good results. So, no, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed working under him.
First game was a very, very late win against Georgia at Hampden.
Yeah.
Craig Beattie scored the winning goal. I remember I was sat in the south stand with my mate, and they took Chris Boyd off, and I was like, what's he taking Chris Boyd off for? Like, Chris Boyd scores all the time. Oh, no, he's bringing on Craig Beattie.
This shows you what the manager's on.
I know, exactly, massive result wasn't it?
As you said there, you make decisions. People say you take your goal scorer off Boyd and you bring Beats on, another goal scorer at Celtic, scoring goals. And we managed to get a late win. It was a massive 3 points for us. Wasn't it a really good performance that day from us?
There was another 2-0 defeat in Italy.
It was in Bari.
It was.
Yeah, we were, I think, who was it? Boy, he scored, the big strike. Was it Bayern Munich scored?
Luca Toni.
Mm-hmm. He scored.
Big boy. Did you swap shirts with anyone? Did you do that throughout your career?
I did. I think I've got... I took Totti's top then for the one each game against Italy.
Right. Have you still got it?
Still got it. De Rossi.
Mm-hmm.
Got De Rossi's.
Not bad.
I got Pirlo's at AC Milan. Yeah, it would depend on the opposition that you played with. If it was a good team, I've got who did I get from? I got Makaleli,
right,
from France, from the game out there. Didn't swap in part of the France.
Well, that's a no bad. Do you keep them always? Do you always keep your Surrey stuff throughout your career?
I've got quite a few good tops. You play in Europe, play against good players. You always try and get a top off them.
Let's move on to the second France game.
Yeah,
away in Paris. Again, that was some night, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think we must have about 20,000 fans there that night. I mean, the atmosphere was incredible. You look at the French team, you know, they were different class out here, but that team that night, we were thinking if we could get anything whatsoever, we're doing okay. And we hardly touched the ball that night. And I mean everything was off the ball, a lot of running, a lot of covering, a lot of blocks, a lot of challenges, a lot of headed clearances. Keeper saving it. We were never up the park till we still weren't really up the park when Faddy scored. We were, he must have heard it for 35 yards. I'm standing right behind him. I think, look, we've got to keep the ball, give us a little bit of a rest. And next minute, he just hits one. And we're like, oh, that's just went in. We've got 30 odd minutes to try and keep it at 1-0. And we managed to hold off. I really don't know how we did. And what was talked about after the game, France, it was silence in the dressing room because the players were absolutely shattered for the amount of work that he'd put into the game. You know, people say, "Did you sell it?" No, we didn't. I think we were just exhausted after that game.
And just to go back to the McFadden goal for a second,
oh, it's unbelievable.
He was the sort of player that could pull out something special.
Yeah,
he was
the one player that you think up the other end of the pitch that he might. We'll nick a goal for us because that's what we had to do away from home at times because we didn't always create a lot of chances away from home. And then away to France against the best opposition, then we knew Faddy could pull something out of the hat, and he managed to do that.
And you put in a fantastic performance that night, as did the rest of the team.
All the players did, and the guys that came on, and even the guys on the bench didn't come on. They're a massive part of it.
Yeah.
They're a big part of the guys that don't play sometimes. So everybody that was involved that night, including all the staff and the players that didn't play, it was massive for us because there was a real togetherness about the group.
You didn't play against Lithuania a few days previously.
No,
were you a bit worried?
No, he told me.
Did he?
He told me he was keeping me for the France game. Managers do that.
Right.
He says, look, I'm going to play on Tuesday night. It was a totally different game. I think because my position had changed a wee bit. Lithuania here, we know we'd have really a bit more attacking threat, and we knew in France we'd a bit more defensive discipline about us. So the manager actually pulled us and said, look, you'll play in France, you'll not play today, which is fine.
Yeah,
it's great, it's music to my ears that you're playing against the best team in the world.
A couple of games after that, you were actually injured for the Ukraine and the Georgia game.
Yeah.
The Ukraine game at home, which we won.
Yeah, the Georgia game is a big game for us. We had to win that.
Do you remember watching that somewhere? Or
yeah.
Where were you?
I was in the house watching it. I knew we had to win the game, and we didn't. And to be fair, we were big favourites to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've said before, that there's never an easy game in international football. especially when Scotland are concerned.
Yeah. Apart from Faroe Islands at home.
That's what that's but then away from home, it's away from a bit different story. It's a bit different.
So it all came down to the game, you know, just a wee easy game against the world champions at home. And all we needed to do was beat them.
I know, that's easier said than done.
Well, I remember the
we lose a goal after 4 minutes.
I was going to say, the build-up to the game was like nothing I'd seen.
I think it was a 5 o'clock kick-off.
It was, yeah.
It was torrential rain. Mm-hmm. The atmosphere was, it was so loud. Standing out there,
like I remember, you know, the front of the papers, they had you like your faces on gladiators and all the rest of it.
And then a big come down. But we spoke all week. Oh, we'll start the game well. Make sure you have a solid start. Okay, quick throw in, bang, 1-0 down. Mm-hmm. But we managed to come back for that. We get the goal for Barry, mm-hmm. free kick. But I think we had a brilliant chance after that with Faddy at the back post, and they get slid across. I think he's on the stretch, and that's the side netting. Mm-hmm. And then we know what happens with the free kick that wasn't a free kick, and then they score a goal the last couple of minutes and knocks you out.
But again, special memories for you a bit as well. You know, the atmosphere that night was incredible.
It's not until you stop playing. That's what they are, memories, and you're thinking, I was involved in the games at Scotland, at Hampden or away from Hampden, and it's something that you'll always remember.
Let's go to the actual game itself then. You know, you've mentioned the goal early on, which was a bit of a blow, but we worked ourselves back into the game. We get the goal from Barry Ferguson from the free kick, and as you say,
I think we're going to win it.
At that point, you're thinking they're on the rack here.
Yeah, we think we're going to really go and win this game. And the crowd were urging us on. They were a 12th man, and we did have a couple of opportunities, and I said we're at one with Faddy, and we just always that. We lose that goal in the last couple of minutes, and it just deflates you and knocks you out.
What's your? Did you say anything to the referee? Because you were quiet with referees. You didn't say much.
No, it depends what referee it was. I think we're just angry that it wasn't a free kick. Yeah. It definitely wasn't. But you've got it. That's what happens in the game. Football's definitely changed again, and they've got VAR in now. So I think it'd be even more frustrating now as a player. But these things happen.
Are you thinking at that stage as well? That's you know, we've come so close in what was such a really difficult group. You're thinking, you know, from a personal point of view, from your point of view, I want to play at a major tournament and I'm running out of chances here.
Yeah, I think a lot of players have said that over the last 20 odd year, that we've no managed to, this is my last chance. I think you always think that. But the older you're getting, you're in your 30s, you might not see the next campaign.
Yeah.
Because you only get one or two cracks at it, really. And if you're in a strong position, you think we've got a chance, and for never to qualify, you would always want to be that group that qualify for a major championship after 98.
Yeah, and it must have been, what was the atmosphere like in the changing room after?
Yeah, very sombre, very quiet. People were just obviously very, very down, and there's not much you can say, to be quite honest with you. As a manager, what do you say to the players? It doesn't matter what you say, you're beating the last kick of the game.
Just after that, or a couple of months, or a couple of weeks later, I think it was Alex McLeish left as Scotland manager.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that? Again, disappointment?
Yeah, because he was good. He was good with the players. His style was good. His man management was very good. Enjoyed working under him. But these things happen. If you're pretty successful, Alex was still pretty young at that time. If you're pretty successful, I think you then want to try still, and you're young, that you still want to try to have a crack at club management. I think an international manager is a little bit more experienced. I think it should be anyway.
George Burley comes in,
yep.
who's a wee bit older, who is a wee bit more experienced.
Somebody you know.
So were you happy with that appointment then?
Yeah, because I enjoyed working under George at Hearts, but even though it was only a short space of time, I think some 4 or 5 months at Hearts, he had us playing good football, and I really enjoyed his style and the training. And but I think when you come to international football, it's totally different. Then you've got a greater selection of players. You work with bigger egos or whatever. And I think it was tough for him, to be quite honest with you.
It was, you know, you mentioned the 4 or 5 months at Hearts, and then George left. That was a fantastic team that had been put together there.
In a short space of time that he put the team together, a very good team that we thought we could challenge for the Premier League, and we got off to a blistering start. And obviously things weren't all good in the behind the scenes, as everybody knows. But then for George to get the job, we're thinking, yep, good, because like myself, Stephen Presley, Craig Gordon had worked under him, so mm-hmm. we knew that somebody that was good and we enjoyed working under. But look, it was tough. It was a tough gig for him.
Why did it not work out, do you think?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Is it just, obviously you knew him and you bought into what he was trying to do, some people didn't?
Yeah, possibly. George was always used to being a club manager. Maybe that was a difficult thing for him. Maybe other players didn't buy into the way that he wanted to play. I really couldn't tell you.
Then after George, it was Craig Levein.
Yeah, I think I might have been only involved in one squad with Craig. I think it might have been Liechtenstein. Was it Liechtenstein? It could have been when Stephen scored out there. McManus. We scored a late winner out there, did we? I think it was two games. I think it was Lithuania and Liechtenstein. I wasn't involved in any of them. I was coming to 33, 34. Mm-hmm. Craig was somebody that signed me at heart. So yeah. Somebody I really liked, still like. I thought he was a good manager.
Again, that's, he was much like what's happened now. He was greeted with sort of universal acceptance.
Yeah.
He was the right man for the job. But again, it didn't work out.
That's what happens, innit? And some managers work out, others don't. If there's a transition in players, sometimes there's older players in the group, then you've got to try and build a younger team again. So it was never going to be easy.
You mentioned you were 33, 34 years. Final game for Scotland was a friendly appearance against Czech Republic.
Czech Republic, yeah.
Did you know that was going to be your final game? Or you think
possibly, possibly. I felt that season was probably going to be my last season probably at Aberdeen, so... I think you're thinking, but look, I've done, if you say to me 27 you're going to get, or 28 you're going to get 25 caps, then I would have took that any day of the week.
Yeah, and did you think that you still had a wee bit more to give, or do you think that was...
I think you realise, I don't think you kid yourself on. You think, when your time's up, when your legs go a little bit, then it's time to give somebody else a chance.
Right, Paul, that's been a great chat. We have a few quick-fire questions to finish with.
Yeah.
So you've already answered one of them, which was the best player, or best opposition player to play
Pirlo,
against,
yeah.
Which was Pirlo. Best Scotland player you played alongside?
Oh, good players. I would probably say Barry Ferguson.
And why was that?
He was a great midfielder. He was composed. He could pass it. Could take the play. It was a player that I played with at under 8s at Mill United a way back, and then played against him, so, and then played with him, so he was a top player.
Best Scotland manager you played under?
Wilbur.
Very quick there.
Yeah, very good. I enjoyed working under him, first cap he gave me, but not just that, I just liked his style.
And out of all the stadiums you played in your Scotland career, which was the best one?
Parc des Princes. Yeah. And then obviously winning that game is even better.
Well, Paul Hartley, we've had a good chat there.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And join us again for some more Scotland podcasts before the next round of qualifiers in September.